Good morning, my brothers and my sisters. It's another beautiful day that God has made, and we rejoice in today. This is the day. It's a good day. It's the Lord's day. It's a day that we assemble, a day that we gather to worship God. I ask all of you, wherever you are, to stand for the reading of the Word of the Lord, because this is God's Scripture and God's Word, and then we sit when mere mortals speak. But we'll be reading in 1 Kings chapter 19, verses 1 through 5. May these words begin to, these seeds be planted in our thoughts as we journey into today and what I believe what God has for us this morning, right? It says, "Now Ahab told Jezebel everything Elijah had done and how he had killed all the prophets with the sword. So Jezebel sent a message to Elijah to say, May the gods, small g, they're not real. May the gods, or demons, may the gods deal with me, be it ever so severely, if by this time tomorrow I do not make your life like that of one of them.' And Elijah was afraid, ran for his life. When he came to Bathsheba in Judea, he left his servant there while he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness. And he came to a broom bush and sat down under it and prayed that he might die. 'I have had enough, Lord. Take my life. I'm no better than my ancestors.' He laid down under the tree, the bush tree, and fell asleep. And all at once, an angel touched him and said to him, 'Get up and eat.'" Father, we thank you for your love for us. Thank you, God, that you care about us. Thank you, God, that you rejoice over us. Thank you, God, that you provide for us, that your eyes are upon us, that each one of us is special, made in your image. Thank you, God, that you care. Thank you that you do something. Thank you for the coming of Jesus. Thank you for his life and his ministry that radically affect all of us. We celebrate the past of his ministry, the present of his ministry, and the future of his ministry. And we as your children bask in the grace and the mercy of God this morning. We pray that you would speak to us today, Lord, that you would open our eyes that we might spiritually see. Pray that you will remove blindness from any of us that are struggling to see God this morning. I pray, Lord, that you would open our ears, that we would hear the voice of God. And we pray this for the glory of God and for the kingdom of Jesus. In your name, amen. And amen again. Good to be with you all. You can go back on your couch or wherever it is that you are today. And those of you out in the breezeway, it's so good to see you. Know that you're out there. I'll be swinging by to say hi after the message. And tonight we're going to have our worship and prayer service, as PJ said, worship under the stars, and bring canned foods, as we'll be doing a food drive for the homeless and those who are just struggling during this time. We're going to be hearing testimonies tonight of how God is using people in our church to share the gospel. It's going to be a great worship time. It's going to be cool out here at night between 7 and 8 o'clock. We encourage you to come be a part of that. And I do want to just say thank you to the worship team. That song called In the Stillness, you won't find that song anywhere in America. First time I heard that song was in Jerusalem at a Messianic Jewish congregation. And the worship leader there wrote that song and was singing that song in Hebrew with English subtitles and then in English. And when I first heard that song, I just loved it. Speaking of when Jesus breathed into the disciples and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit," that song to be still, quiet your heart before God. It's a good song. I wish people would sing it here in America, but we did today, so now we have, and it's a beautiful song. My brothers and my sisters, there's a teaching in the Bible that I believe the Lord wants us to meditate on today. This teaching is found in 1 Kings chapter 18 and 1 Kings 19. And it's about the prophet Elijah and his battle with the gods, the prophets of Baal. There's a statue on the Valley of Armageddon that looks like this, and it's the statue of Elijah. And Whenever we go to Israel and we tour the land of Jesus, that first day as we leave Tel Aviv and we head north up to Sea of Galilee, we stop at this place called Mount Carmel. And there's a statue. We drive up to a bus here. There's an area. There's a bunch of beautiful trees here. Here's another picture of that statue a bit closer. Notice the post here. Once you go to this statue and where we drive to this area, we walk up to this lookout station. What are you looking at? You're looking at the Valley of Armageddon. You're looking at the Jezreel Valley. It's a valley. The Mount Carmel is here. The Mediterranean's here. And then there's this valley. And then on the other side, there's hills that start up once again. And there's a village on these hills. And this village is called Nazareth. Jesus, as a little boy, would look down onto this valley. This valley is called the Valley of Armageddon, the Jezreel Valley, Megiddo, Mageddon. This valley has been prophesied as the place where the last great battle of humanity will take place between the kings of the earth and the spiritual forces that drive them and the Lord Jesus, found in Revelation 19. Psalm 2, it says here that Christ will return. And every time I go, I look up to the sky. I love it when there's clouds, because it says that he returns in the clouds with a great army from heaven. A great army from heaven to fight against the kings of the earth and the spiritual forces that guide them. When you go here, you're reminded, at least I am, of how small I am and how vast and how big is God's plan and God's timetable in all eternity. When we go to this place and we see over this valley, we spend some time in 1 Kings 18. As we go back to the statue, we teach about Elijah, because there was another battle that was taking place here, 3,000 years ago, by Elijah. It was a spiritual battle. It was a physical battle between God and the spiritual forces of darkness in the heavenly places. It was between his prophet Elijah and 850 prophets of Baal and Asherah. Elijah was a radical follower of God who encourages me, and I pray he encourages you. He's called one of the greatest prophets of the Old Testament. And in the time that Elijah was living, he was willing to stand alone for God in a land that is rejecting God, that's waffling between belief and unbelief. Elijah is known as the supernatural prophet. More signs and wonders came through his ministry than any other prophet except Moses. And in 1 Kings 18, Elijah, through God's power, had performed his greatest miracle. In 1 Kings 18, God's children were rejecting the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and they were embracing the God of Baal. It was a Canaanite God of fertility. And his wife Asherah. And a part of worshiping Baal was child sacrifice. They would sacrifice children to these false gods. And God's people were doing this. And God was angry at them. And he sent a prophet to judge them and to judge the land. And Elijah spoke at this horrible sin that God's people were doing. And he prayed that it wouldn't rain for 3 years. And guess what? It didn't. In an agricultural society, no rain, crops dry up, streams dry up, animals start dying off. 3 years of no rain. People are looking for Elijah. He's nowhere to be found. Ahab, the king of Israel, is upset. And after 3 years, Elijah returns. And he calls the king to the floor. He speaks and he says, gather all the people of Israel up to Mount Carmel and bring all the prophets of Baal and Asherah And let's have a contest. Enough of this. If God is God, follow Him. And if these gods are the gods, follow Him. And there's this great contest. You've got to read it. 1 Kings 18. They go up to Mount Carmel. And the prophets of Baal cut themselves and cry out. And Elijah says, let's put a sacrifice. And if God, the God that brings down fire from heaven is the one true God. And he tells the prophets of Baal and Asherah, cut yourself, do whatever you want to do, worship your God, have God call down fire from heaven. And they pray and they pray and they pray. And it's a great teaching. Elijah mocks them. Maybe your God's asleep. Maybe he's relieving himself. Cry out louder. And when it's all done, he says, get over here. And he rebuilds an altar to the Lord. He prays over it. He sacrifices an animal sacrifice there and he throws water on it. And he says, God, show these people that you're God. And fire comes down from heaven and consumes the sacrifice in front of everybody. The people fall to the ground and they say, the Lord is God. And Elijah says, slay the false prophets. 850 false prophets are wiped out that day. It's an awesome reading between God and mankind and the forces behind it all, spiritual. Usually there is where we get up in the bus and we head down to Megiddo and then we cross the Valley of Armageddon as we head up to Galilee. But when you read in 1 Kings 19, it says this, and we just read it this morning. Ahab is the king of Israel. He goes back and tells his wife everything that Elijah had done and how all her favorite prophets and prophetesses, they're all dead. Elijah killed him with a sword. Jezebel sends a message to Elijah and says, may the gods deal with me if be ever so severely if by this time tomorrow I will not make your life like one of those. And Elijah says, your words don't mean anything. Repent. I'm worshiping the God of heaven and earth that calls down fire from heaven. But it doesn't say that. Verse 3, it says Elijah was afraid and ran for his life. And when he came to Beersheba in Judea, he left his servant there while he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness. And he came to a broom bush, sat down under it, and prayed that he might die. I've had enough. Have you ever prayed that prayer to the Lord? I've had enough, Lord. Take my life. I'm no better than my ancestors. And he lay down and he fell asleep. What an interesting piece of scripture. From the pinnacle of Elijah's ministry to the bottom falling out in a matter of a few pages of scripture. All because the threat of one bad lady. When we read this, does it surprise you? Does it encourage you? I've always treasured this book by Chuck Swindoll as he wrote about the prophet Elijah. It's a great read. It's a good book. I totally recommend it. He says, I'm glad that this chapter has been included in Scripture. I'm glad that when God paints the portraits of His men and women, He paints them warts and all. He doesn't ignore their weaknesses or hide their frailties. This is Elijah, the man of heroism, the prophet of God, the hero of faith who had faced down the prophets of Baal and called down fire from heaven. This is Elijah, the man of humility, who trusted when God gave him a promise, who prayed when he needed God to give him strength. Surely this man would never fail for the wicked woman's schemes of intimidation. Or would he? Well, in this case, he did. Isn't that? He did. The expectations of revival from the government down that was in Elijah's thoughts didn't happen, even after fire from heaven. The trials and the tribulations of the world got to Elijah. It began to overwhelm him. For Elijah, he lost hope for the world. Do you ever fight against these thoughts? Has this ever happened to you? For me personally, Pastor Frank, I remember, so I'm a police chaplain in the city of Irvine, and I'm post-certified. That means you have to take a bunch of training. And in the midst of being a chaplain, we had to take a class called, we had to take a test. This is called compassion fatigue. You ever heard of that term? You can look it up. So I took this test, and when they grade it, they say, you failed. They say, hey, are you okay? They're talking to me. You failed this test. You have compassion fatigue. I'm like, really? And sure enough, about a year and a half later, I broke out hives, and I had to have a 3-month sabbatical, and I needed a place to just quiet down. Ministry can be hard, right? The world can be a tough place. Sometimes people lose focus, and they just get tired and worn out. And this is what happens to Elijah, the great prophet. In 1 Kings 19, Elijah had a season in his life where he lost focus. Has it ever happened to you? He began focusing on the politics of the day. And he stopped focusing on the God of the universe. He started focusing on the politics of the day. And he lost focus of the God of the universe and His kingdom. Has it ever happened to you? You start listening and dwelling on the voices of the world instead of the voice of the Lord. Do you ever struggle with this? Isn't this the battle? As we are in this world, but we're not of this world as children of the living God. I'm for God's kingdom, right? His will on earth. Aren't you? Look how I love this next section of Scripture. And notice as I read this how lovingly and compassionately God deals with His prophet. 1 Kings 19:5 through 8. Then he laid down under the bush and fell asleep. All at once an angel touched him and said, "Get up and eat." He looked around, and there by his head was some bread baked over a hot coals and a jar of water. He ate and drank, and he laid down. Slept again, probably, right? The angel Lord came back a second time, touched him, and said, "Get up and eat, for the journey is too much for you." So he got up and ate and drank and strengthened. He was strengthened by that food. He traveled for 40 days and 40 nights. Until he reached Horeb, the mountain of God. Isn't that beautiful? God gently restores Elijah with food and with rest. God sends angelic intervention. So you're going to take notes with me this morning. Here's a great note. God Almighty treats us as physical, spiritual, and emotional beings. He's mindful of this. It says in Psalm 139 that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. Made in the image of God. Children aren't to be murdered outside the womb or inside the womb. All of us are fearfully and wonderfully made by God of value and worth. And we're complex beings of body, soul, and spirit. We are material and non-material. We're holistic beings. And in 1 Kings 19, God deals with Elijah in a holistic way, in a three-dimensional way. And I love it. After God restores Elijah physically, He encourages him with angelic intervention. And then God brings him to Mount Horeb, the mountain of God. Do you know the biblical significance of this mountain? See, Moses had an encounter with God at this mountain that changed everything. God called Moses through a burning bush at this mountain. God made a covenant with the people of Israel at this mountain. God gave the Ten Commandments at this mountain. Supernatural events took place at this mountain for Moses, for the people of Israel, and now for Elijah. Listen to this and enjoy this. 1 Kings 19, 9 through 13. There he went into a cave and he spent the night. And the word of the Lord came to him. What are you doing here, Elijah? He replied, I have been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, torn down your altars, put your prophets to death with the sword. I'm the only one left, and now they're trying to kill me too. And the Lord said, go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by. Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountain apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord. Can you picture this? But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, there was an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake came a fire. But the Lord wasn't in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper, a still small voice. And when Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face and he went out and stood at the mouth of the cave. And then the voice said to him again, what are you doing here, Elijah? Isn't that a wonderful passage of Scripture? Isn't that a piece of Scripture for all of us to meditate on? To stir into our hearts? Have you ever been in a severe wind? Those of you watching online, you ever been in a tornado in the Midwest? Or a typhoon in the Philippines. As we speak this morning, there's two hurricanes coming toward the Gulf. Have you ever been in a windstorm? I mean a severe windstorm. They're frightening. This one says that rocks were cracking from the wind. Have you ever been in an earthquake? We in California know about earthquakes, don't we? As soon as they hit, everything changes. It's like all time stands still when an earthquake hits. It's frightening and it's humbling because there's nothing you can do. It's an awesome display of power. Fire. The destructive force of a fire. We in California know about this right now, don't we? Burning chunks of the state up. Picture this scene with Elijah. God is outside this display of awesome nature. God is outside the realm of all of this. Notice, did you notice the conversation? Elijah, the great prophet of God, blows a gasket. That's a word for a motorhead. When your engine blows a gasket, your engine's done. It just instantly goes bad. Elijah mentally had a breakdown and he wants to die, and God restores him and God gently takes care of him and he brings him to him. It's like going to the principal's office. What are you doing here? What are you doing here? God's question. And the answer by Elijah, I'm tired, I'm afraid, the world's a mess, the government doesn't follow you, the nation is in rebellion to you. What does God do? Nonverbal demonstrations of power, the power of God. And then God asks him a question a second time, same one. What are you doing here? Isn't that beautiful? God does a personal demonstration to Elijah over who has real power. And it's not the political leaders of the earth or their wives. It's God. It's God. Take notes with me, if you'd like. What is God doing to Elijah? God refocuses Elijah back to God. How important is it that we focus on God? Elijah, I need you to slow down. I need you to breathe here for a little bit, my friend. God guides him to a place of silence from the voices of the world. God guides him to a place of solitude so that he will calm down and be alone with God. A place to focus, to listen to the voice of God once again, to the still small voice of God. How important is it that we do this for our lives? What is the benefit of sitting alone with God in silence and solitude and focusing not on the voices of the world, but on the still small voice of the Lord? As I was reading this, I'm so reminded. Jesus says, "Come to me, all ye that are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. Listen, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and I will give you rest." God is gentle. He's all powerful. He's not a bully. He's God. It's almost like a father saying for to a child, "Sit on my lap. I need you to focus on with me a little bit here. Listen to my voice." How important is this in your life? How important is this in my life? Imagine if you had a Mount Horeb moment every morning before you started your day. "Hey, Frank, before you start your day today, I want you to come outside your house." "Okay, Lord." And I go outside, and there is a wind that shatters everything. And then God throws an earthquake at me and just shakes me to the ground. Fires of, and there's God in the midst of it all. "Do you see me, Frank?" "Yes, Lord." "I'm not in any of this. Focus on me today." "Okay, now go start your day. Focus on me today and follow me today, Frank. Do you see me? Don't focus or listen to the voices of the world. I need you to focus on the eternal voice of God." Imagine if we were to do this every day. Would it change how we live each day? Who are you listening to? Who are you learning from? This teaching of 2 weeks ago with Psalm 1. "Blessed is the person who delights in the law of the Lord, who meditates in the word of the Lord day and night, who meditates and listens to the voice of God and the thoughts of God. How blessed is this person. They're trees planted by streams of living water." A person that focuses on God and prays to God. The message of last week, a wonderful sermon by Pastor Graham. To start our day. Blessed is the person who has a Mount Horeb every morning. Listen to these verses. I'm just going to read them to you. Enjoy them. Habakkuk 2:20. "The Lord is in His holy temple. Let all the earth be silent before Him." Meditate on that one. Psalm 46:10. He says, be still, and know that I'm God." Have you done that lately? "Be still and know that I'm God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth." That battle of Armageddon. Psalm 37:7, "Be still before the Lord." Be still. Slow down. Wait patiently for Him. "Do not fret when people succeed in their ways, when they carry out their wicked schemes." Have you been fretting lately? And what's going on in the world? Isaiah 30:15. This is what the Sovereign Lord, the Holy One of Israel, says. So listen. In repentance and rest is your salvation. In quietness and trust is your strength. Where is your strength? In quietness and trust in God. That's what God is doing with Elijah. Quiet, focus, strength. When was the last time you were still quiet before God? When was the last time you made a strong effort to tune out the voices of the world and listen to the Lord? Being in silence and solitude with the Lord is the only place where we can gain freedom from the forces of society that will otherwise relentlessly mold us if we don't sit before the Lord. The Christian author Dallas Willard says, silence is not an absence, it's a presence. Quietness enables us to listen. When was the last time you were quiet in the presence of God? You see, Elijah needed to slow down and look up. Take this third note with me today and meditate on this. Tell me if this isn't true. In our quiet times with the Lord is where we find healing. We find perspective. We find strength. In our quiet times with the Lord is where we find healing. It's where we find perspective. It's where we find strength. See, Elijah needed to slow down and look up. Elijah needed a fresh vision of God. Of who God is. Brothers and sisters, don't we all? How often do we need this? How often do you need this? How often do I need this? Right? See, I don't know about you, but I've come to realize I need this every day. When my time with Jesus is lacking, I start to look a little bit like Elijah. How about you? I need to start a day. When I wake up in the morning, I pray, good morning, Lord. Thank you for this day of life. I get my cup of coffee. I try to quiet myself and focus on the Lord. I'll listen to worship music. I'll open the scriptures. I'll begin reading. Sometimes I'll journal and I'll pray. Sit before the Lord. I need to center on God. I need to center on God. Don't you? When we don't center on God, what are you centering on? If you're not listening to God, who are you listening to? I love starting my day this way. The importance of a quiet time, a time in our day to focus on God, to talk to Him, to pray. See, I've learned that my life would be a mess if I didn't spend time with the Lord. I've learned that my strength comes from God. And so does yours. It's funny, when you look at your calendar, you think you know what's going to happen next week, but you don't. I look at my calendar, I think I know what's going to happen week to week, but I don't. Just this last week, reflecting on my week, I spent time counseling with people with very serious issues. On Wednesday, I did a memorial service for the police department. By a Friday morning, I got a phone call with a dear man of God is dying. You get in a car and you go over there and you sit with this family. as he's on hospice, and you pray over him. You thank God for his life, and you pray for his family. Pastor Frank, you're going to teach God's word on Sunday. Sit alone with the Lord, listen to the voice of God, study his scriptures, ask God, what do you want to say to your people? See, I need the Lord every day. I need to hear his voice. I need to sit in his presence. Each day has a lot of troubles and challenges. See, I need Mount Horeb in my life. Every morning, I need, if I could just wake up and see God before I see the day, everything will find its place in the great battle of life. When was the last time you were at Mount Horeb in your life? When you sit before the Lord. During this pandemic, my wife and I, Cindy, we picked up an old book that we had gone through in 2008 called Experiencing God by Henry Blackaby. And if you've been at this church for a while, you might remember this. In the year of 2008, the Lord, he guided our church. In the summer of 2008, the whole church was encouraged to get this. It's an amazing set of quiet times that takes the person on a journey. There are five quiet times a week. And there's 12 weeks of these quiet times. And God gave Blackaby something for the church. And so we as a church studied this. Everybody in the church was doing quiet times. Everybody in the church was gathered together in some kind of small groups. And we were discussing the materials. And back then, even at that time, we even had a video. There was videos from Blackaby that kind of spoke on each unit. And for 12 weeks, our church went through this. And God changed and transformed this church in 2008. And it was a tough 2008. There were some tough things going on in America. The economy was in the tank. Things were happening within our own body. And the Lord was just, this was a critic. God spoke to our church in such a powerful way. And we love this. For those of you that's been at this church long enough, do you remember doing this? I've been talking to my board, leadership team, staff, and they're like, yeah, that's good stuff. And I shared with them, you know, my wife and I, we've picked it up. We begin doing them again after 12 years. And we sit together and I'll drink my coffee and we read and we talk about it. And I'm like, Cindy, this is good stuff. I remember this and I don't remember this. And for me, I'm looking at the notes that I wrote 12 years ago. And as we kept reading this and studying this, I was like, I wonder if the Lord wants us to go through this again as a church. You see, Jesus says to be alert and to be awake in the days that we're living in right now. These are incredible days that you and I are living in. Every day is one day closer to his return. And Jesus' teachings is for the church when he returns is to be alert, to be awake, to be watchful. Well, how do we stay spiritually alert and spiritually awake? We draw close and stay close to Jesus. My friends, we're going to be taking the church through this again starting the second Sunday of September. And between September through the end of November, all of us in this church, we're going to be encouraging everybody to spend quiet times with the Lord, studying this material, getting in small groups. God has something to teach us again from this. And if you've not heard about this, you're about to be radically blessed. Well, I'll be telling you more about how to get the books and how we'll be going about doing this. It's a tool. It's just a tool that God has given to man through which people will draw near to him. It's an awesome tool. I encourage you, if go find your old book, dust it off, and start reading it again. Quiet times. They're about 15 minutes a day, quiet times, reading scripture, and it just takes the person on an amazing journey on how to connect with God, understand God, and experience God. It's not the Bible. It's not inerrant. There's some things maybe I don't know if I totally agree. But it's okay. All in all, it's amazing. The principles are awesome. We're going to be encouraging you to journey with us in this. Coming up real soon. Mount Horeb. All of us need Mount Horeb in our lives. Maybe every day we need one. Pastor Frank wants to encourage you this week to practice the discipline of slowing down and getting alone with God. Turn off everything and meet the Lord. Find Mount Horeb for your life. A place to be still. A place to be before God. A place to refocus. A place to listen. I want to ask you this week to read 1 Kings 18 and 1 Kings 19 and meditate on it. And let God speak to you in it. God will use these scriptures to help you draw near to the Lord. In quietness is your strength. In quietness before the Lord is your strength. To be still and know that I am God. Elijah, you've lost focus. Elijah, you need to do some soul care. Elijah, I need you to focus on you. I think you need to sleep. Son, I think you need to eat. Son, I think you need to rest. Son, I need you to get off from politics. Turn off CNN and MSN and Fox. Turn off. Quit listening to politics, son. Just quiet yourself. Rest. Eat. Sleep. Come here. Come here. What are you doing? Watch this. I'm God. Awesome displays of nature. Earthquake. Wind. Fire. Do you see me? Do you see the Lord this morning? Do you see Him? He's God. He's the God of the universe. He's the King of kings and the Lord of lords. He's the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. He's the one that made you and created you. He's in control. He's all powerful. He knows what He's doing. He's not worried. You shouldn't be. Focus on Him. Be the person He calls you to be. Do the things He asks you to do. Listen to His voice and not to the voice of the world. Quit going horizontal. Go vertical. Find perspective, find healing, and find peace. And now engage back in life in the power of the Lord. Let Jesus breathe on you, the Spirit of the living God. The Lord delights in you. The Lord loves you. God is gentle with you. God wants you, God wants me to draw near to Him for our own good. Because if we don't draw near to the Lord, we're going to be a mess. Friends, the days that we're living in are interesting days. I believe the Lord is calling you to Him like never before. God wants to have you come to Him. He wants to surround you around His arms of love and protect you, guide you and lead you. But He needs you to be still. He needs you to slow down. He needs you to focus your life on Him. Or you're going to miss what He's doing. Father, I pray for my brothers and I pray for my sisters. Lord, as the worship team is coming up here now to sing this last song, to be still and know that the Lord is in control. I ask God for my brothers and I pray for my sisters that are watching today. Lord, there are, I believe there's a lot of Elijahs right now watching. There are a lot of us, God, that just want out of life. We're done. We are weary and heavy laden. We have no hope for this world. We're disgusted by this world. We're horrified by this world. Lord, there are times when we turn on the news, we feel like you're losing. God, we feel like you're losing a society that is godless. A society that doesn't even care for children in the womb, let alone outside. Training our kids in godless thoughts and philosophies of the age of death. Lord, the world's an absolute mess. God, when we see the world, there are many times that we can become Elijah and just say, it's never going to change. You're losing. But then we begin to focus on you. We begin to see that you're not losing, that you've already won. It's not about here, it's about there. This little slice, this vapor of life is nothing compared to eternity, and yet you are preparing and doing amazing things right now with eternal purpose. You're smarter than we are, Lord. We admit it. You're more powerful than we are, Lord. We admit it. We trust you this day. And we focus on you this day. Thank you, Lord, that you've not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. Lord, I pray that right now as we worship you with this song, that, Lord, you would calm the hearts of your people. If there's any Elijahs watching today, I pray, Lord, that you would speak to them as we worship you in this song, in the name of Jesus and for his glory. Amen.